I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on till 4 o'clock on the radio, 1 until 4, and then after 4, you can hear whatever you missed on the John and Ken On Demand podcast, available on the iHeart app.
All right, tomorrow during this hour, we're bringing back the voice line for the first time in 2 weeks. You still have time to leave your messages on the iHeart Radio app, the microphone icon, or use that toll-free number. Still trying to figure out how many years the voice line goes back. We think at least 15. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Steve Gregory is coming back on the show after 3:30 to update us on that Lancaster story where a couple of L.A. County Sheriff's deputies had to subdue a couple who were suspects in a shoplifting and assault story at a grocery store in Lancaster. And particular attention was paid to the woman in the video that has been taken of this, not only from police body cam, but from a bystander where she eventually gets wrestled to the ground and pepper sprayed. But that's not the whole story.
No,
he talked to the attorney for one of the deputies.
That's far from the whole story. And it looks like there's a whole smear campaign going on led by the sheriff, Robert Luna, assisted by the progressive local lazy media here.
And the activists. They're all over this. They're claiming these officers should already be arrested.
Yes.
Arrested.
So there's white officers. This is a black victim. And everybody goes into this knee-jerk smear operation without getting all the facts together.
Yep. We have an understanding that perhaps she slapped the officer before she had to be subdued. That didn't really come out, but we'll see what Steve learned about that.
Yeah. It might be something slightly different than that.
Because she has been charged with assault on a police officer. That was one of the charges against her. So
yeah.
So putting it in there.
Steve's got a lot of good stuff after 3:30, you'll see. Because we go looking for the true story, unlike all the rest of the progressive media in town here. Puts out the old lazy racist cop routine again, huh? You did that dance without... Nobody even checks for facts among the TV news stations anymore. You don't even try anymore. You just, it's like paint by numbers. Just fill in the blanks.
Now, the El Segundo Times story on what we're going to do next, this one's by Brennan Dixon and Rachel Uranga, starts with this paragraph. Is a strand of recreational vehicles on a dusty lot in Sylmar a helpful alternative to the region's notoriously overpriced housing, or is it a safety and sanitation concern that needs to be addressed? The next sentence is, the answer depends on whom you ask.
No, the answer depends on what is really happening. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of the truth.
We'll see how it was covered by KTLA Channel 5. Here's reporter Rachel Menatoff.
By looking at the front of this Sylmar home, you would have no idea that around back, there are dozens of RVs, one right next to the other.
It started with one, two, and then all of a sudden just kept adding more and more to her yard.
It's like one motorhome, two motorhomes, three motorhomes. 3 years later, there's 20.
20 mobile homes in total. Longtime residents say in the last few years, the number has grown.
My concern with the RVs is, I don't know how, where are they throwing all their feces? Which I already know.
Neighbors say the tenants living here are dumping waste around the neighborhood. They've taken videos of what they say is sewage water flowing through the streets and collecting on sidewalks. This is Cindy, who lives nearby. She also worries that this group of RVs isn't a healthy environment for the dozen or so people living here.
If she did have it set up where she had the permits and I knew, like, okay, they have electricity, they have water, they have dumping whatever hookups, I wouldn't mind because it would be legal and safe. But it's neither right now. It's not legal, it's not safe, so.
It's why she started knocking on doors and collecting signatures, 117 to date. She and others are reaching out to representatives in both the city of San Fernando and Los Angeles. We stopped by the home in question and spoke to the caretaker of the property, who says the homeowner is offering these RVs at little to no cost, that many of the residents would otherwise have nowhere else to go.
And yeah, you're right. There's some people here that maybe they don't have good credit. Maybe they don't have the money to go get an apartment like other people can. And it's just a place to stay in. You know, have a place to rest and, you know, to seek a better future for mom.
Councilmember Monica Rodriguez, who represents parts of this district, said in a statement, upon being notified of this issue, my office initiated the inspections of the property in question with the LA Department of Building and Safety, which resulted in violations and notices for compliance. Pablo Aguilar says he wants to see city officials better regulate this site.
It's not a mobile home park. It's not zoned for this. We don't want this kind of, you know, this kind of doings going on around here.
Councilwoman Rodriguez says this is complicated because the property is both in the city of San Fernando and also the city of LA. So as this case goes through the court system, she says she's going to do everything she can to address health and safety risks. Also, I did ask to speak to the homeowner directly tonight and was told she's currently not home.
That's Cruz Florian Godoy is the woman that apparently owns this lot. They did charge her with two misdemeanors for unlawfully erecting a structure without applying for and securing permits and licenses.
The LA Times says the woman's in Guatemala.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so she's way out of town.
I agree with that guy near the end there, although he had trouble saying it. We can't have this kind of doings. I was like, you mean this kind of doo-doo? Because imagine feces on the sidewalks and in the streets flowing past.
That's what I'm saying. That is the lead of the story. That's what should be emphasized if you're going to cover this, is that their sewage is flowing out of this makeshift RV park. The place is not zoned for an RV park.
That's what he said. He's right. It's not zoned for this.
And I don't care if these people have nowhere else to go. Go park your stupid RV in the desert. And this idea, well, like, they need a place to stay because, you know, they need to have a brighter future. You have to go get a job. Are any of these people working? Or do they sit there all day in their RV snorting meth? I mean, why is it so hard to go to work? Why is that such a problem for everybody?
You look at the picture of this. There's a house, and right behind the house are just RV after RV. They're lined up in rows of about four RVs. They're like just a couple of feet from each other. It's just like massive, disgusting overcrowding. I don't know how anybody would allow this to go on. And even the city is saying, well, you can't do this. But
a renter said the tenants are forced to clear a clogged sewage line if they can't pay their rent. Hmm. So some of them aren't paying the rent. And the penalty is you go out and clear the clogged sewage line.
Now you got to do maintenance.
And this renter says he's worried unsanitary conditions may have made some of his neighbors sick.
Oh.
But he fears retribution if he reports it. Well, because people used to live this way like 130 years ago. They didn't have sewage treatment. They didn't have modern sewers.
They died of terrible diseases.
Yeah, right. Do you know the life expectancy for a lot of people living in cities where it was in your 30s and 40s? Because people caught cholera and typhoid from other people's feces.
Bring out your dead. Monty Python.
That's why people used to die young. I found this out once. The human lifespan has not changed throughout history. Human lifespan is still 80, 90, 100 years. People have always been capable of living that long. What changed was the life expectancy, depending on the living conditions in the era that you lived in.
Right.
So if you lived in a...
Yeah, you can't combat disease. Right. A lot of people die.
Right. Right. So once we got into advanced medical care and vaccines and sewage treatment, you have no idea how many people used to die of sewage-related issues, 100 years ago. Seriously.
Well, maybe we're cycling back.
Well, that's it. We are cycling back. This is reverse evolution here.
All right, we got more coming up. Next is your chance for money. Be listening for the keyword you need to win that inflation cash. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
And next chance to win, I guess, is next hour with who?
It's going to be Mark Thompson.
How do you know these things?
There is a schedule that comes out, and I look at it.
Really?
It is called the time off schedule.
No? Oh, okay.
It comes in the emails.
He doesn't every look Wednesday. At the corporate email.
Every Wednesday.
Really?
It's every Wednesday?
Every yes. Wednesday?
Huh. Every Wednesday.
I should look into this email.
You're in there because when you take time off, your name is in there, right?
Oh. All right.
And it says that either I'm doing the show alone or somebody's filling in for us.
One day I'll look into that.
Yeah, but it is Mark Thompson. So, all right. Well, oh, yeah, Steve Gregory's coming on after 3:30. Update us on the Lancaster L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy story where the two people who got manhandled by the police officers, including a woman thrown to the ground. Anyway, there's a lot more to the story, and he got an update by talking to the attorney for one of the deputies. He'll be on the show at 3:35. You know what happened again, John, late last week?
What's that?
More migrants arrived in Los Angeles from Texas. Saturday, another busload. Second in the last several weeks, 40 people, including 11 children, came from Central and South America. So far, they've not arrested Ron DeSantis or the Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
I was going to ask while I was gone. I expected DeSantis to be in jail by now. No? Newsom was faking?
Well, sometimes the charges take a while put together the case. What we have for you is an excerpt of an interview done on Fox 11. This is reporter Marla Tellez talking to the L.A. County Supervisor, Catherine Barger, about the latest round of migrants who arrived. And one of the twists of the story is that they did get notice this time that a bus was coming. This was one of the complaints. We didn't know. They didn't tell us. We didn't prepare. Anyway, let's listen to what she had to say.
We are prepared. For these buses. We are talking about two buses so far. I can only imagine what actually Texas is going through right now with the number that are coming across the border. So we stand ready to assist. Proper notice is nice to have, but we were prepared when these individuals got the bus at Union Station.
And the point that you made last time, and I want to see if that's the case, it seems like it is, the fact that you seem to think that these migrants weren't necessarily coerced, that they in fact wanted to come because they were so easily paired up with family members?
So I don't know how Texas is triaging, but it's interesting to me that all but five this time, and I think all but one last time, had some relatives here in the area. So I have to wonder if Texas is triaging and finding out who wants to go where and then putting them on buses. But I can't speak for Texas, but I do find it interesting that there were family members or relatives or friends here that the individuals were able to reach out to.
And for people who say, we have a huge homeless problem. We need to house the people who are here in the county. We shouldn't worry about the people who are bused here.
I hear it all the time from people. It's like, charity begins at home. What about the people here that are languishing on the street? And I could not agree more. But the reality is, until Washington addresses what's going on, it is left in our, it's basically left to us to address that, not only that issue, but also the homelessness issue. And it's incredibly frustrating to me that we continue to see the numbers go up.
What is this, Washington? But you declared yourself a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. This is Washington thing. The same thing with homelessness.
No.
You encourage homelessness. The word is out. You can get an $800,000 free apartment by coming to California. Why wouldn't thousands come for that.
Yeah, but at least these migrants probably won't end up in vans or lying in parks. By the way, I bet you they actually get to work doing something.
Here's another fake story, this idea that they're being misled coming here. Well, what, do you think they all want to live in El Paso? Do you think they all can live in El Paso?
Well, that's a big takeaway from that interview with Supervisor Barger. She said a lot of them had connections in L.A., and she thinks they triaged them in Texas to determine who needs to go where. They always tried to make the story sound like, oh, they randomly threw them on buses and drove them to California.
That was, yeah, but that was a fake story made up by liars like Gavin Newsom, amplified by liars in the media. They never checked to see what was true. Doesn't it make sense? If you're a Texas official, you're going to say, hey, we got a bus going to L.A. Who wants to go to L.A.? Who's got family in L.A.? Wouldn't that be an easier way? Wouldn't it be a lot more difficult to force people who actually want to go to New York and then jam them on a bus to L.A.? Or the people who want to go to L.A., jam them on a bus to New York? I mean, use common sense. Of course they're doing that. It makes their job easier if the people are getting on a bus to go where they want to go. Otherwise, you're going to have huge fistfights. People are going to start shooting each other because you're sending them in the wrong direction. What a bunch of dumbasses, starting with Newsom and everybody in the media here. They've been put on buses and they have coerced and lied to, had no idea where they were going. That's not true. Makes no sense. Why would you do that? Nobody would get on the bus.
Because they want to make the Republican governors look heartless and callous and
sure. In other words,
politically manipulative. And
so let's lie to give a false impression.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what public life is about now. And everybody repeats the lie, goes along with it, and get outraged.
Texas governor is now claiming that 23,000 people have been bussed out of his state to cities all over, mostly Washington, New York, Chicago, Philly, and Denver. 23,000, but how many millions have come in since
2 million
became president?
Yeah,
it's like a couple million migrants. So that's just a drop in the bucket, which is another exaggeration to this story.
Just massive, overwhelming incompetence with the senile old fool, and all the idiot progressives that are in the White House with him.
All right, when we return, Steve Gregory's got an update on that story out of Lancaster where the sheriff's deputies had to tussle with a couple of shoplifting suspects, including a woman who ended up being thrown to the ground and pepper sprayed. But that wasn't the whole story, of course. But the video is shocking people, and even the sheriff had a press conference about it yesterday. Steve spoke to an attorney for one of the deputies. That's the big update.
Yeah, there's more to this story. You've been misled to. You've been lied to. What else is new?
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
Would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear us on the John and Ken On Demand podcast. Listen to what you missed. Steve Gregory part two today as he continues to unravel the story of the cops up in Lancaster, the sheriff's deputies who threw this woman to the ground, and we're finding the story is much different than the way it was presented all week on television.
Yeah, we're getting some new details that were not revealed in yesterday's press conference with Sheriff Luna. And to recap for everybody, Sheriff Luna had a press conference yesterday afternoon with about 53 minutes notice, talking about his version of the events and what the subsequent investigation will entail. Also that he's called together a bunch of community leaders. He's going to have a town hall. He's talked to Catherine Barger. He's, you know, he's really, really, you know, putting out the goodwill tour there for this particular situation. And what's unusual in talking to other deputies and other command level folks in the department, they're really baffled as to why this has become a big deal. This was really, truly a routine call. And there was nothing out of the ordinary with this call other than you have a brief glimpse of a videotape of a deputy taking a woman down to the pavement. And as I told you in the last segment, that policing is not pretty. It's not a pretty thing. And when you see aggression and violence, and when you have to see officers do what they do or have to respond to violence, it's not pretty. So I did get a chance to interview Tom Yu. He represents the deputy that you encounter in the video that you see. And I just had the attorney lay it all out for me and just say, hey, tell me what happened from your perspective with the with your client, and then I kind of went from there. So in cut A here, what I really talked to him about was mostly the takedown. A lot had been made about the takedown of this woman after the husband was detained.
Subsequent to the deputy detaining the husband, my client approached the wife to place handcuffs on her. She was using a cell phone device to record the interaction. My client approached her to get the cell phone away so they can pat her down and handcuff her. You can see at a certain point, you can clearly see her left hand making a fist, and that was going towards the direction of the deputy.
So
that's undisputed.
And is that's considered an act of aggression on the part of the woman?
It's considered an act of aggression, and it's considered an escalation of use of force. And that's where the ensuing use of force occurred. Where she says, you can't touch me, and she began resisting. This is where the takedown happened to the ground.
Okay, let's just jump in and explain. The husband and wife were suspected of assaulting an employee in a store. That's why the cops were called.
And here,
and so they showed up, they handcuffed the husband. The wife pulled out her phone, her camera, and the cop went towards her because she was one of the suspects. And that's when she makes a fist.
Right.
And he thinks the fist is coming at him.
Right.
And so the cop takes her down.
And remember, a lot was made about the deputy arresting. And here's the thing that the attorney, Tom Yu, said. Neither of them was being arrested. They were being detained. That's a big difference. And here's another thing that did not come out in the press conference yesterday. Tom Yu says his client was responding to the Winco grocery store in Lancaster, rolling code 3. You know what that is?
Code 3. Explain it.
Lights and sirens. That means that it could be imminent life and death, life or death. When you roll code 3 to a scene, there is an imminent threat or danger. And you have to get approval to roll code 3. So this was not, getting the kitty out of the tree. So when the deputy is arriving on scene, the deputy is already going there with a sense of urgency, knowing that there's two assault suspects that they have to make contact with and a robbery suspect that it wasn't really shoplifting at the time, according to Tom Yu, it was a robbery suspect. So that's what they're rolling to. So then in cut C here, Eric, you know, a lot was made at that the deputy was arresting the woman for videotaping the incident.
That's what was being pushed in all the TV stories.
And here's what Tom says.
She did not get detained, or she was not being taken into custody because she was recording. She was detained because she was identified by the Winco store management for assaulting and stealing items from the store.
How did everybody get it so wrong this week?
Yeah.
This happened June 24th. Everybody had 11 days to get it right, including the sheriff. I mean, a lot of the misleading information came from him yesterday during his news conference.
So in cut B here, I finally just come right out and ask Tom, why is everyone making a big deal out of this?
You know, I think the elephant in the room, Steve, is the race component. You know, I've been getting calls at my office, you know, 30 or 40 calls, you know, calling us racist. How do you defend a racist cop?
Do you believe your client did anything wrong?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They acted within department policy. They acted within the confines of their training. They comported to the training that's been given to them by the department. And they acted within policy and the law.
And because, and when I talked to Tom about this, and because of the press conference yesterday and the tenor of that press conference, and the fact that there's going to be these town halls and these activists and social justice folks are all being called together and all.
By Luna.
Yeah,
Luna is calling the activists together instead of
explaining. He's responding to them, right?
Why isn't Luna explaining why the cops did what they did? Well, why is he calling in all the crazies?
And because of all of that, Tom says his client's not going to get a fair investigation. There's no way, because there's too much pressure now on Luna to act.
Well, Luna has to save face now because he's completely botched this.
Typically, a sheriff or police chief, when they encounter something like this, they have to wait for the investigation to be finished first.
That's what they always say. I can't comment.
Then you come out and call your activists and everyone else, or you call them in and watch the video or tell them about the investigation, whatever the case is. But you don't sort of jump to that conclusion.
Did Luna panic here?
I don't know. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but he does say at the end, and it's a cut I used yesterday on KFI News, he does say at the end, I have to wait to talk to the deputies. I really have to get their point of view on this. But it wasn't until someone asked a question that he brought that up. Instead of leading with that by saying, listen, I'm here to address the video. I can't say much about it because it's under investigation. Period.
Have the two officers, do they get interviewed right away when something like this happens?
Any use of force incident, typically they're going to get interviewed immediately. Now, when I asked Tom that, it's funny you bring that up. Because I said, when were you made aware? When was, you know, you as an attorney made aware? And he says, well, they have a protocol in place. It was the deputy who felt like the way he was being questioned internally, he started to feel like, you know what? I better have some representation here. Because at that point, he felt like he had to be protected. And that's when he called for help. Now, if it had been a categorical use of force, like a shooting or a death or something like that, it's automatically
split up. This is somebody thrown to the ground. Nobody was shot. Nobody was beaten.
She got pepper sprayed.
She got thrown to the ground and pepper sprayed. Yeah, I really don't understand this.
Well, I think the reason, Steve, he's supposed to be the anti-Villanueva, so that he thinks he got elected because he's going to be different than the previous sheriff, and that includes listening to the activists who hate the police.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So we have a black woman, white cops. Sheriff Luna immediately assumes the white cops did something bad to the black woman, calls up the black activists who hate the police, and creates a big ruckus out of it. But nothing happened. She raised a fist to the cop after allegedly assaulting somebody at the store.
And maybe after being a thief.
Right. So she assaults somebody, perhaps, steals something, raises a fist to a cop, resists arrest, and the cops throw her to the ground. And so the activists come out, and Luna does his dance yesterday? That's just wrong.
And agencies do things a little differently, but by and large, it's the same, the way they treat this. So, like, if it had been a shooting or something escalated that high, the officers would immediately, or the deputies, been separated. Then they would have been interviewed separately by use of force people. Their union reps would have been on scene first, and then they would have gotten attorneys. But it was my impression from my interview with Tom that the deputy didn't really think anything was wrong, that it was a routine call. They got the people that were involved, and they affected the detainment, because again, they weren't being arrested. Mm. They were being detained first as protocol.
Right. But so I'm wondering if the cops were interviewed shortly after the incident, 11 days later, Luna still doesn't have the basic facts of the case.
Well, he's not going to. And here's the thing.
A review of the videotape shows the fist clearly.
Well, in defense of Luna, I mean, the sheriff and the chief are not going to know about every. They're going to get maybe a briefing, a slight briefing on what's going on. It's not unless it is flagged as a high-profile event. Let's remember, it didn't become high-profile until a bystander posted it on social media. So then it became a problem.
Right, but isn't his job is to tamp this down and saying, wait a second, that looks bad, but it's out of context in isolation, and here's a lot more to the story. And he knew what the story was, and why didn't he defend his police or at least neutralize the situation?
Well, I think that's what the attempt was yesterday, to neutralize, because the video was out there. And when that happens, then you've got to come out and say something like, listen, we're aware of the video out there. It's part of our investigation. I can't get into too many specifics. The deputies have been put on leave or are reassigned or whatever the case is. We're going to look into it. Then we're going to come back here and reconvene in a couple months when the investigation is complete. Then I'll be able to answer your questions.
I can't imagine the sheriff's deputies are happy with this.
Well, this is a big test for Sheriff Luna, as I mentioned before. He's going to have his first big incident of every kind as the new sheriff. He had his first mass casualty event in January. Now he has his first high-profile use of force incident. In this case.
Puppet. Nothing but a puppet.
And everyone's going to be watching to see how he handles it.
When did you get a sense that what we saw, what was being presented, was not the entire story? when did you pick up on something fishy here?
When a source called me yesterday, and then last night, I had two different sources calling me, and then, they say, there's more to this, and it's, what Tom Yu, the attorney to the deputy, is saying, too, is he's afraid his client's going to become a scapegoat.
Oh, yeah, it's where it's headed.
The activists want them arrested.
Yeah. And does Luna have the courage to tell the activists to go buzz off?
Well, here's the thing. He's one part of that process because the deputies are protected. They do have, they are part of the state's or the county system. They are a protected employee. I mean, there is a process and procedure there. Odds are this deputy will not get fired. I can't even see that happening. It's very interesting to see what could happen and what in disciplinary action, if any, could happen.
Their careers are ruined. All right, Steve, we got to go. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Steve Gregory, KFI News, covering the story out of Lancaster where the two people got into a tussle with sheriff's deputies.
We give you the real story here, the truth.
John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Last call for the voice line. It'll come tomorrow during this hour. In fact, right at this time, it'll be voice line part two. Use the iHeartRadio app to connect to the voice line or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST. 86. Well, that story out of Lancaster, which we spent a lot of time on the show this afternoon, is a good one. It tells you all you need to know about the state of coverage today, both from the media and, of course, from the activists on what police do. A couple of sheriff's deputies from LA County got involved in a story out of Lancaster where it looked like a couple. We haven't been able to figure out how this couple is related. Are they man and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend?
They're a little older
from what I can see.
I've heard them described as husband and wife. But the thing is, the coverage was so bad that I didn't realize the woman thrown to the ground was also the suspect in the assault.
I didn't either. I saw the story Monday night. I forget what channel it was on. And it looked like she was just trying to video the police take down the man. And then a cop turned on her and said, give me that camera or stop taking video. And then, it grabbed her and threw her to the ground. I'm like, well, what did she do?
Right.
But then I learned the next day that she was a suspect in not only shoplifting, but she may have assaulted one of the guards at the grocery store.
If you want to hear the whole story, as we know at the moment, and you're just tuning in, you got to listen to the podcast because Steve Gregory was on in the last segment and he explained it. But the quickie version of this is these two were suspected of going into this store and they assaulted somebody in the store and they stole stuff. The police were called and they were told it's a code 3, which means lights and sirens, possible life or death danger. They show up. They detain. They didn't even arrest anybody. Detain the husband, handcuffed him, and they tried to detain her, and she raised her fist to hit one of the deputies. So the deputy responded by throwing her to the ground and pepper spraying, which is what you have to do if you're a deputy, right?
You do, yes.
And so
you have to get control of the situation, right.
That's what happened. And there was none of that. And this is an 11-day-old story. Not 11 minutes old, 11 days. And all the coverage was why she was just standing there and she had a right to video the police. It's like, no, she was a suspect. And she raised a fist to the cop and it's on the video, the body cam video.
Right. Plus another woman bystander took video too.
And she was also disturbed because she didn't know what was going on either.
No.
She didn't understand that these were shoplifters who may have assaulted a security guard and may have tried to slap the police officer. I don't think she knew all that. She was like,
right. You look at her video, which is what the news stations were going with. It looks like he just randomly throws the woman to the ground for no reason. No. She was a suspect. She was suspected of robbery or shoplifting, of assault. And she'd already raised a fist to assault a police officer. And then Luna's press conference reinforced all the misleading nonsense that the media amplified. There was very little truth in any of the coverage, even from the sheriff. What is wrong with Luna? And he rounds up all the activists. And I saw the video of the activists. They were all grinning. You know, it was showtime. It was time to appear on television.
Oh, they wait for a story like this.
Oh, yeah.
A viral video that they can use.
They had their T-shirts. They had their slogans. They're all ready to go. You know,
it may be suspicious, though, of police and their lawyers, because you always hear, well, it's what's not on the video that matters in the story. And that goes back to the Rodney King case, remember? But sometimes it does matter what's not on the video to get the full story.
And the thing was, turns out the fist was on the video. They just didn't run that video on TV, whether they didn't have it or decided to ignore it.
No. I didn't know that part.
They're dishonest. Yeah, no. Steve Gregory said it. Well, the lawyer said it's indisputable that she raised a fist at the cop.
All right.
Unbelievable. All right. We got Mark Thompson here.
Look, you're in full rant. I don't even like to get in the way of you.
Well,
around
get the hell
you.
Out then, so we can keep going.
Oh, my God. Love it.
He's filling in for Tim.
Take right. a week off. Let's turn the rant down for a week. My God.
He took 2.5 weeks off. He's ready.
This built up inside.
There is no off switch on that John Coville. All right. Well, John and Ken, you'll be glad to know that... I'll be revealing where I got these incredible-looking pants that I'm wearing. I will at some point in the next few hours. They are fully... Can you see how great they look? They are fully water-resistant. I don't know if they're waterproof, but the water beads up. And
right.
That's what sold me on them.
So if you have an accident...
You want to shower with them on? Or?
Now, I don't know why I was so taken with that, but
I remember when we went on that trip and you bought like all kinds of weird pants.
Well, I bought weird pants then. I bought like the MC Hammer type pants.
Yeah.
We were in Morocco, though, to be fair.
I still can't believe you two traveled together. I got a kick out of that.
He's maybe the best traveling companion you could find.
It's
so weird. There is, and then I find, we talk a little politics and stuff, and we actually agree about a lot of things, which is even more disturbing.
But didn't he stare at the food and say, what the hell is this everywhere you went?
They had a surprising amount of meat in Morocco.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was in Morocco.
The stuff he was ordering, I was staring at.
Yeah, that's true. It's the vegan or plant-based, whatever you want to call it. We can exist in the meat world. It's not an issue. There's a new Alzheimer's drug. We'll be discussing that. I have some thoughts on it because I was watching it. There's been a lot of writing about it in the trials that they do for it, and it shows a modest improvement, which I guess you want. I mean, even a modest improvement. But there could be some issues with it and certainly some insurance questions around it. You guys are talking about this the sheriff incident, and, I'll follow up on that as well. And the missing 8-year-old, not so missing. Alex Stone will join us a little bit later. It's the Conway Show. We're getting underway. Yeah, Conway's away, but I'll be here in a little bit.
All right, very good.
All right. Thompson all right. in there. Yeah. Go get him.
Let's
go.
Right.
And get mad like John.
Okay, we've got Andrew Caravello.
Get mad like John should be on a T-shirt.
I'm looking. What's that patch on your shirt there? I thought you were security or maybe the Coast Guard or something.
It's another place that I make money at.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a guy in uniform.
Everybody has to have three jobs.
Everybody's got four.
I thought Crozier got arrested and this was a deputy in there. All right. Live from the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.